Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Jimmy gets beat down by a red shell, and Tyler hauls some Heliax.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Beat time. Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome Old Man Emu lift kits are on Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs and everybody out there. I am one of your hosts today, Tyler, and this is episode 137, and we're in a kind of a newish studio, a new part of the studio, I guess. And here next to me on our new studio couch is the one and only Mr. James Hydro Jet Black. How are you, Mr. James Hydrojet Black?
I am doing pretty well. I'm quite tired, actually.
You're
but
tired?
I am. Why? I'm pretty
did
tired.
Did you do something last night?
I did.
Yesterday?
Yes. I did a lot yesterday.
I've heard.
What it was of? A long weekend, all in all.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit here.
Yes.
In the meantime, though, this is episode 137.
Yay.
So Thursday.
Woo-woo! Thursday. What's in your butt?
What? Yes. Wait, what? No. Yes. Close. No, today I'm just excited. Like, I'm going to be so scatterbrained during this episode because immediately after recording this, we get to go somewhere. We get to take a road trip.
Yeah.
And we're going to get Kermit, and Kermit's coming home.
We're going to go pick up the green guy.
Mm-hmm. The green guy is coming home, not the Hulk, although he might be changed his name to the Hulk now.
Maybe, yeah.
We'll see.
Or Miss Piggy.
No, he's not. We're not wrapping her pink. So anyways, I'm gonna be a little scatterbrained for sure throughout this episode, so I'm going to rely on Jimmy over here, my good buddy, to keep us on track. I can't hear what's going on. I don't know what you hit.
Perfect.
Okay. Because we're in a kind of an interesting setting, our audio setup and studio setup is a little different. So if anything comes out weird in this episode, we can blame Jimmy. He's on the audio controls today. We don't have our normal intern running audio today. So I'm going to point fingers over that way.
That works.
Okay, cool.
This new board of ours is so nice. I don't think anybody could mess it up.
I'd say it's kind of hard to mess up now.
Yeah.
We did release the bonus episode with Trail Chasers.
Awesome.
Yep. So that came out fantastic. Speaking of the new board and how fun that was to use. It made just, if anybody out there does podcasting, I know we have a few podcasts that listen to us. Highly, if you do any kind of remote interviews, highly recommend getting a Rodecaster Pro.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's expensive, but it cleaned up that audio so good.
Cleaned up the audio really, really well. And
it was a one button push
one
for
button,
mix minus.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like
if you do anything, mix minus is a pain in the ass to set up and get right. And it usually involves a lot of time tinkering with it. With your remote interviews to make sure that all the sounds or the sound levels are all set properly. And this did it all perfectly with just a touch of a button. It was really, I did it and I was like, I can't imagine that's all that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And it
worked
out just fine.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah. So anyways, check that out. We didn't label it as a certain number of episodes, just called bonus episode, the bonus with Trail Chasers. Check it out. We only put on about 10 to 15 minutes of the episode with Trail Chasers. So the rest of the episode, you got to go listen over on their channel.
Yes.
So they launched it on October 15th. Go find it. Listen to it. It was a lot of fun. We had not just the interview, we kind of stuck around and took over their podcast
a little bit, huh?
For the second segment of the show too. But it was fun. It was a good time. Those are fun dudes. They're
yeah, good definitely. Time it was a lot of fun hanging out mm-hmm. with them and talking to them and learning about their type of wheeling that they do down in Southern California. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it was fun. And I just wanted to say also, you know, big thanks to the patrons.
Absolutely.
Because without you guys, we wouldn't have had this board to do this awesome recording with. And we do appreciate it, and we do try to give back to you guys as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So this month we have the, what are we doing this month?
I forgot. The Dobinson's recovery kit and tree saver.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a Dobinson's setup, but it's donated by Stellar Built.
Yep. Dimitri over there.
So that was cool of him to find something for us, for you guys
mm-hmm.
to check out. Also, we have the Ultimate Grudge giveaway from Gear Wrench going on. Mm-hmm. So $35,000 worth of tools for you guys to go and enter into. And definitely go and do that. And if you do, then get into the secondary runner-up of Epic Proportions. Thank you, Gear Wrench Corey. And all you need to do is save that screenshot of that you entered into the Gear Wrench giveaway and then fulfill the same exact requirements for our giveaway. And you can get into another possible giveaway, a secondary runner up. So,
yep. There are currently 7 submissions.
Yeah.
So you now have, as of right now, at this point in time, which is when we're recording this, it's October 19th at 10 a.m. So good morning, America. And you have a 1 in 7 chance right now.
Right.
So if you have submitted, you have a 1 in 7 chance at winning close to $10,000 worth of Gear Wrench and Crescent and Apex and Wiss and all these other really cool brands and tools. So 1 in 7 chance. I wish I had that odds on anything else in life right now.
Like, yeah, definitely.
So make sure you get submitted for that. Literally, all you have to do is enter into the Gear Wrench Ultimate Garage giveaway, which the link is in the show notes, and then take a screenshot of your submission for that and come over and take the second link in the show notes and submit that screenshot to us, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
That's
we make it
stupid easy.
Super stupid easy to win $10,000 in tools.
Or $35,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go down into the links below and click and enter. It's that simple. So,
yep, cool stuff. Also, you guys have, as of when this episode is being released, which is the 22nd or 23rd, Thursday, you guys will have about a week left to enter and bump up your patron tier to the gift box tier. So we're going to keep that open until close to nighttime on October 31st, whenever Jimmy decides to turn it off. So if you need a couple more days, make sure you bribe him sufficiently to keep that open for you. But yeah, October 31st, Saturday, that's a Saturday. I'll be out at Spider Lake that Saturday.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I don't know if there's going to be a Halloween costume contest at Spider Lake or not, but it's invite only, so please do not show up. That would be bad. But yeah, it should be a fun weekend. But make sure that you're signed up for the, what were we talking about? The gift box tier before then. So, yeah.
Are you going to be working on a repeater out there?
No, we're not. We're trying to get one more rock trail in kind of before everything starts closing up here. And we're still getting actually pretty decent weather here in Northern California
right
now. So we're hoping we get one more rock trail in. So that's, we got permission and invite from the private property owners there at Spider Lake to come out and hang out there at the, what is that camp called? Where the Slow County Crawlers usually camp out.
That was Windy Camp.
Windy Camp. So yeah, we'll probably be up there at Windy Camp on the private property at Spider Lake that night. So it'll be fun. I'm excited. I'm thinking it's going to be pretty cold at night.
We did receive a new review on iTunes.
Oh, we did?
Yes.
Nice. Who's it from?
It is from Rock in Crawl K5.
Does he have a K5?
I don't know. But I would guess yes.
Okay.
Just by that name.
Yeah.
5 stars.
Nice.
Thank
Good
you.
Start. Good
yes,
start.
Yes, definitely.
I like it.
He says, love the podcast. I've been listening since High Sierra days.
Nice.
So
cool.
He's like 137 episodes deep in our adventures and then a few more over there.
Yeah.
I don't know why you
Wait,
would
is
do
he
that.
Fully caught up with us?
Well, he doesn't say that, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
I mean, we recorded a bunch over there. We have bonus episodes. I mean, he could be. Who
he
knows?
Could be like close to 160, 170 episodes.
I know. Nuts. not so much the toys or the heaps, LOL, but I love how you guys always talk about local trails. P.S. Get some full-size guys on there to talk about their rigs.
We'll think about it. I don't know.
Yeah. We're going to call up one of the Bakkens?
We might. I don't know. Maybe we can send the mail kit out to Jeff and kind of catch up with him and see what he's been up to.
Get a full-size guy on here.
Yeah. I haven't seen him talking a whole lot about his truck.
No.
I know that he still hasn't built the Pathfinder.
No.
He still has the Pathfinder sitting there gathering dust in Minnesota.
Right.
We could probably do that. Send it out to him and have him do a fun remote interview and catch up with Jeff.
Yeah. I don't even know if we'd need to send. Does he have the podcasting equipment? I forgot who actually has it.
I don't know who has it right now. I know that he like keeps bringing it back with him every time he comes back, just in case him and Greg can record. But I don't know if he's leaving it here or taking it back with him.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I just know that we can't record with Greg anymore.
No?
No.
Why not?
He doesn't have an off-road vehicle anymore.
What?
Yeah, he sold the Jeep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he got a minivan.
Bummer.
Yeah.
You know.
I was kind of upset. I texted him when I found out, and I was like, why did you sell the Jeep? He goes, well, we never used it anymore. And we have, you know, a growing family now. We needed a minivan. I was like, yeah, that's fine and dandy, but you could have at least offered me your axles.
Right. I'll take the tires, please.
Right. I'll take the tires and your axles. I'll just take everything from your spring and brackets under.
Right.
All your unsprung weight. I'll take all that for you. So anyways, he
could have put Toyota axles under that Jeep to sell it.
Oh, that's funny.
He's like, so, no, I had to pay people to take the Jeep then.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, they're doing good. As far as last I've heard, they're both doing pretty well.
Yeah,
so,
definitely. You know, talking about minivans.
Uh-oh.
I'm
curious as to where you're going.
I've been getting this itch.
For a minivan?
Kind of, yeah.
Can you do tell? I'm curious now.
So I was talking to Truck Norris last night.
Okay.
And we fell in line in this Previa talk.
Uh-oh. Okay.
A Toyota Previa minivan.
The 4x4 ones?
The 4x4 ones.
Gotcha.
He likes the more the newer ones, like the early 90s.
Okay.
I like the older ones that are like the boxier kind in the 80s.
Okay.
But I want to keep the front, like it's a super weird front end right on those.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a weird straight diagonal line down to the bumper in a way. And it looks very bizarre, but I want to keep the front. I want to keep the sliding door area, but then from the back hatch, I want to cut it off and make it a truck.
A truggy minivan?
Yeah. Or a ute or like a double cab El Camino or something.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think it'd be neat looking and then solid axle swap it and throw some Yotas and some big old tires under there. And
I don't know how I feel about that. It would almost look kind of like a forward control
kind of
rig.
Yeah, it would.
Uh-huh.
But I think it'd be unique.
It would definitely be unique.
So
I don't think it would be unique in a good way, though, Jimmy.
You know, some people see the light in different colors.
Yes, I see black and white.
That's not a good thing to admit.
Okay. Does that mean I can't be a jet fighter pilot then, I guess?
Well, yeah, you just don't see the grays in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that would be interesting. Well, so what is he like then? Like kind of that bubbly
version?
He
likes the bubbly ones. Yeah, the little bit more rounded, you know. Mm-hmm. The 90s ones were
the Jetson kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
The Jetson Previas.
Yeah, they were they're both pretty cool. And we watched like 7 or 8 Previa off-roading videos on YouTube while we were hanging out. So
I don't know whether I should be sad or happy that I missed that.
Yeah. You know, what was funny is, so he has a mountain bike that he's trying to sell, and he's like, okay, if I sell the mountain bike, I could buy a Previa. Because that's cheap they are.
Yeah. That's how expensive mountain bikes are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So speaking of Chuck Norris.
Okay.
What the hell were you guys up to last night? All I saw was there's some kind of post on Instagram that says something along the lines of fun at the time, but not the next morning.
Yeah, sure. So Lee out saying 80. Somewhat challenged Chuck Norris and I to a spicy food challenge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he found, and oh, it all no. spawned off of our conversation that you can't take food, you can't cook in the wilderness right now.
Gotcha, yeah.
Because, you know, you can't really have fires out, mm-hmm. especially here in California, like you're not even allowed to have fires.
Mm-hmm.
And so he found these hot pots. It's more or less kind of a, let's say it's a ramen.
Okay.
You know, but it's an MRE self-cooking device.
Gotcha.
And so you throw this heating pack and then water in there, and it like almost instantly boils. It boils really fast.
Yeah.
And then it steams these veggies and noodles and then some of the sauce that you put in on the top.
Okay.
And so it's a self-cooking spicy bowl of kind of ramen, but it's like, it's technically a hot pot.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, I had a hot pot in China when I was there a few moons ago, and it really reminded me of the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when I was in China, I had them dump in like the spiciest of spicy things they had. And it was
Were they looking at you weird?
They did. They totally looked at me. They're like, why is a white boy ordering this like spicy Szechuan, you know, or not? Maybe it's Szechuan. I forgot what. Super spicy. It was like radiating neon, like pulsing colors when they pulled it out.
And that's usually not a spicy thing. That's like a radioactive thing.
Yeah, that's the color it looks like.
Okay.
And they like slit the bag and just glooped it into the hot pot.
Oh, jeez.
And what reminded me of... So that one was spicier than what I ate last night.
Okay.
But the way that it affected me was very similar. Because it wasn't spicy in like... I couldn't eat it in my mouth. It was hot.
Uh-huh.
It made my tongue go numb.
What?
Yeah. It like affected my tongue.
Okay.
And it was like making the sides of my tongue like tingly and like it's going sleepy, you know, like when your leg goes to sleep, it gets all tingly.
Yeah.
That's the effect that it had on
me.
Yeah. It was really bizarre. And so it wasn't too to eat.
It was okay. So it's not a spicy.
It's spicy, but the spice didn't affect. It wasn't like a overheating mouth, like I can't eat this anymore. Spice.
Okay.
It was like the spice was, it affected my tongue more than like
interesting.
My mouth, I guess. I don't
know. So like when I eat spicy food, and like spicy food to me is like sriracha.
Right.
When I eat spicy food, like my whole mouth just hurts. It's in pain. And then my whole throat just gets in pain.
For sure.
And then my stomach just goes into knots.
Okay. Yeah.
I've never experienced any kind of numbing before.
Yeah. You won't.
Okay. I won't. Okay.
Because you'll never go that far.
I'm not going that far. Yeah. I'm not getting that. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I can't even get anywhere close to the numbing part because I'm like, this hurts. Mm-hmm. Give me my ice cream.
Yeah. It's not, it wasn't pleasurable. Okay. That's for sure.
Okay.
At this point, it's just torture. I forgot who it was. Maybe it was you or somebody else was saying like, I don't want to be in pain when I'm eating food or something.
Yeah, food is not a time that I think, hey, this would be a great time. You know what I wish I had right now was more pain in my life.
Right.
That's not what I'm thinking when I go to eat a meal.
Yeah.
So
Lee showed up. He drove up from the Bay Area to Sacramento. I drove down to meet at Chuck Norris's house. And then there were some friends over there from Chuck Norris. And he was barbecuing beforehand. And then we sat down and we started doing the hot food challenge.
Okay.
And JJ Rosas Photography was there.
Okay.
And it's good old Jose. And they conned him into having one too.
Okay.
Lee brought three and he didn't have one.
Okay.
He didn't, he didn't eat one. He's like, I've already done it.
Okay.
You know, and we're like, so you brought these up here.
This is the whole point of the contest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I want to see you guys eat it. And we're like, yeah, okay, fine. And so we all eat it. We're all eating it. And it was spicy. It was not, you know, but it didn't taste good.
Oh.
It like was like, here, just let's throw all these spices into this water. And you can just pretty much have pure chili oil and something, you know, and eat it.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, it just wasn't like there was nothing there besides just this overpowering spice flavor.
Interesting.
And so we pretty much all, I'm going to say we all defaulted.
Okay.
Because we all just gave up because
there was no flavor.
It was not any, yeah, it wasn't a tasty, spicy thing to eat. You know, okay. It wasn't we were all eating.
Yeah.
Like we weren't giving up because, or we didn't give up or stop because we were getting overspiced.
Uh huh.
We were stopping because we're like, this doesn't taste good. Yeah. Like, we don't want to eat this anymore.
You didn't want to like raid Chuck Norris's cabinets to find something flavor to put in them? And
no, well, he barbecued beforehand. He did some smoking of some tri-tip, and I was like dipping that in there. Oh. So I was trying to get more flavor.
Uh-huh.
And that was fine, but it just wasn't, it didn't taste good. It wasn't.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so we're going to, now it's either Chuck Norris's turn or my turn. We'll have to figure it out. But we're now, the next one we're going to do is, you know, we're going to do it again, uh-huh. I think, at some point, and we're going to.
Is someone now essentially going to move to, like, making a batch of ramen themselves and then having everybody over to
so
do it?
Or? I'm thinking about ordering some Indian food from my local spot over by me and just having to make it there, like, you know,
as spicy as they
the 9/11, you know, 911's freaking spicy level.
Okay.
You know, and we'll all sit down and kind of have it.
Okay. So when you guys do that, I know you gave me a somewhat of a heads up, but then I just completely got lost with me with working on Brendan's Forerunner. I want to enter the secretary.
Oh yeah,
because she likes spicy food, but I don't think she can handle that spicy of food.
Okay, yeah,
but I'd be curious to just kind of see
what she can handle,
and then like I would like to, I don't know, if you guys are just going to be trying the hottest thing you can do, I won't partake. But like, if we can put together like a chicken noodle soup with some sriracha in it, I might try. try it, and then just be like, all right, I'm done.
Right. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know who's up next or when the next competition is going to happen or, you know, how it's going to play out. You know, maybe somebody's going to make tacos, just blank grilled chicken tacos and some basic veggies.
Uh-huh.
And then we add hot sauces or something, you know. But it was fun. It was fun to hang out with the guys. We had a few beers. We got to eat some good smoked meat that Chuck Norris made. And
nice.
Looked at Previa's and ate some super spicy, you know, hot pots. And so I'm going to declare myself the winner, right? I'll do it right here, though.
Uh-huh.
Because
not
both
in front of the other guys?
Yeah, both Chuck Norris and Jose took a, not Pepto-Bismol. They took
like an antacid or something?
An antacid or something before they started.
Oh, that's cheating.
Right? And then Lee took the waters away.
Uh-huh.
So when we ate without that, and then, you know, Chuck Norris was kind of like, I want some water, you know, and it wasn't, he wanted the water to wash it down, not because it was spicy.
Okay.
You know? And then, and I feel like I ate the most.
Okay.
Out of all of us. And so I'm pretty sure they don't listen to the podcast. So I'm going to
declare.
Lee does. And Lee would agree with me.
Oh, okay.
I bet you. But I don't think Chuck Norris or Jose, listens to the the podcast. So I can pretty much declare myself the winner and I won't have any argument back.
So then in that case, let's just right now declare them pussies.
Okay.
And we'll see if we get a message from either of them.
Definitely.
Okay.
That works for me. So, but we're definitely going to have another one. It was fun. It was fun to do it. You know, I'm feeling fine today for the most part. You know, I can tell that my stomach's not exactly happy.
Okay.
But I'm not like, hey, time out. I need to run to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, but it was, yeah, I don't think I need to go any farther down this rabbit hole on this one. But we had a good time and it'll happen again at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Good to know. So, yeah, that sounds like it was a good time. I'm glad I didn't partake.
Yeah, so, you should be really. If you would have shown up, they probably would have tried to force you to eat some.
That I would have been like crying in a corner somewhere. You would have like position.
As soon as we like pushed the sauce into the mix, you would have said, "No,
no, I'm done.
I'm done. Don't even want to try it."
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. And before that, I mean, and I was late showing up because we were helping Brennan out with his 4Runner. We were installing the Old Man Emu BP51 setup onto it,
which is a brand new lift kit, right?
Yeah, it's a it's a brand new lift kit out by them. I believe strictly for 4Runners. At least that version was.
Okay.
And it, they also have their brand new upper control arms that we installed. So there was a lot of work yesterday. You came over to help wherever help was needed.
I was the shop bitch yesterday.
You were kind of the gopher. You were the gopher and film crew.
Yeah.
Which was, it was what was needed.
Yeah.
That speeds the process up. Like not having to sit, stand up when you're sitting down underneath a rig to go grab another socket or another wrench or something slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, hey, Tyler, can you go grab this? You know, and you're like, yeah. And then you go and you know the shop well enough that you know where the tools are
for
the most part.
Until you moved them all around. You reorganized things
recently. I did a little bit.
And I was like, I don't even know where your box end wrenches are anymore. Where the hell did these go?
But, and then having somebody also do like me not having to worry about moving the camera or lights and rearranging that
finding
setup.
The right angles or making sure the lighting is correct so you don't have shadows right where you're trying to work. I noticed I was doing a lot of that, figuring out where to put the lights for the photography and for the videography on both sides.
So. And that all speeds up the process immensely. So I think we all showed up roughly around 9. We more or less talked for about an hour.
I'm gonna blame Brendan on that one.
Even
though it was completely my fault.
You can blame Brendan, but everybody on this podcast know who's actually likes to talk.
Okay.
And then we worked. We pretty much worked until about 5:30.
Yeah,
with probably a few breaks here and there, but not a lot.
Not a lot of breaks.
And so it was a straightforward install. We did pretty good. I mean, I don't think we really had any hiccups at all besides Brennan sort of changing what the install kit did by adding some shims to the top to just give it a little bit more lift, and therefore we didn't have long enough bolts.
That and the shims, which were provided by Old Man Emu for this.
Were they?
Kit.
No, I don't think they were.
They were not for this kit?
They're not. They weren't provided by OME.
Oh.
I think they're Ekstrom shims.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then.
Yeah, I think they're for another setup.
Oh, interesting. I thought they came with the Old Man Emu kit, and they kind of were like, they threw them in because Brandon was like, hey, I have these shims that I wanted to use, but they're not your guys's.
No.
And so Old Man Emu.
No, I'm pretty sure he bought them for another lift kit, and we never ended up using them. And he was like, but I could use them for this kit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so, but to your point, we did have to drill those out very minutely to, because the alignment was a little very slightly different.
Very slight. On one, if you lined up two of the holes, the third hole was off by like an eighth of an inch.
Yeah. And so we drilled them all out like 1/16th bigger.
Yeah.
You know, or something tiny. And that allowed us to get, gave us just a little bit of play to line everything up.
Yeah.
And so we had to do, we did 4 shims with 3 holes a piece, so 12 holes. But it's aluminum and it went through like butter.
Yeah.
So yeah, besides what Brennan added into the kit, you know, everything else was totally smooth. Everything went great.
I was very impressed with the kit. Old Man Emu did a really good job at having good instructions.
Yeah.
So if we did have any issues with anything, we just looked at the instructions that came with it, and it was all very well explained.
Yeah.
With some one of the pictures.
I liked the way that they did the photos because they actually included the Newton meters and the foot pounds on there, which a lot of people don't. They just go torque to spec, you know, and they're like, okay, now I got to figure out what spec is, where they actually provided you what the spec was. So,
so that was really cool. I thought it was, it looks like a really nice quality kit. Like everything is really well thought out. The placements of everything are really well thought out. The parts look pretty darn high quality. I was impressed with it.
Yeah.
And it all went in pretty fairly easily. Like, the only issue that other people might have is pulling the lower control arms down to be able to get the struts in on the front suspension.
Sure.
But you're going to have that issue
with any kit.
With any kit whatsoever.
Right.
And we just we got a really nice breaker bar from Gear Wrench. It's like a it's a pry bar. A pry bar that we used, and it made that job very, very easy to do.
Yeah, definitely. And what was cool about that is it had, you could adjust the angle of like the head of the mm-hmm. device, so we could get the perfect angle mm-hmm. and then get the leverage that we needed for it.
Yeah.
So
that was really cool. Otherwise, if you didn't have a pry bar to be able to do that with, you're pretty much taking and dismantling the KDSS.
Yeah.
In order to get that lower control arm low enough.
Mm-hmm. I've done it with some 2x4s. We've done it mm-hmm. with 2x4s in the past, and instead of disconnecting the KDSS, we try to pry it open, which some people say it's not the best because then you're kind of like forcing the KDSS to open more. I don't know. I don't understand. The KDSS system kind of resets itself, to my knowledge. Yeah. Like, I've heard their pumps move. Yeah. Like, you turn the vehicle on and it like starts pumping fluids all around in the KDSS.
Yeah.
So I don't know enough about that system to say that if that's good or bad, but it seems like it solves itself.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I'm telling myself.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The rear springs were the other holdup that we had that took a long time to, mm-hmm. and that was just because we couldn't get the springs compressed enough.
Yeah.
To get in there because of the rear KDSS would
kind
connects
of
connects with the track yeah. bar.
And the kit that we had previous installed there had 1-inch spacers on the top. So it made it harder.
Yeah.
You know, to, not only do we have to compress the springs so much, but now we have to compress it another inch
uh-huh.
more because
we wanted to keep that spacer on there. And
yeah.
Spacer.
Well, I had to get it out, you know? So yeah, the whole thing, installing the new springs, mm-hmm. you know, they were bigger and beefier and they were spread out a little bit more than the stock springs were.
Uh-huh.
And so I couldn't, the spring compressors that I was using wouldn't make it. They weren't long enough to get to a really low rung and a really tall rung.
Yeah.
And so I had a one spring gap. So I had to really compress them tight, mm-hmm. because there was so much left over on the top and the bottoms
yeah.
of the spring, but it all ended up working out.
Yep.
We did the passenger side rear spring and that took a while, but once we knew the system, the driver side rear spring went in totally simple.
Nice.
Yeah, it was much easier mm-hmm. and the shocks look awesome. They yep. have like, they, but it's 4-corner reservoirs. They got some, internal workings to them that is over my head, but they look great.
Yeah.
They're big, they're beefy. They're like, they're actually a decent diameter shock, which mm-hmm. is pretty nice. So mm-hmm.
so cool. Yeah, if somebody was going to do that kit on their own
mm-hmm.
without videoing and photographing everything, how long should somebody expect it to take?
If they are experienced, I mm-hmm. would say, and it's two people,
mm-hmm.
I would say 4 to 6 hours.
Kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
I think you would need to have a good spring compressor.
Yes.
And something to pry that lower control arms down.
Yeah.
On the front. And those are really the only two things that require any kind of specialized tools
mm-hmm.
at all. And
yeah.
even then it's like you can kind of finagle ways to do it with a 2x4, like you said, for the prying and whatnot.
Absolutely. I think that if you start disconnecting the KDSS, it might take a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
but it would make, you might spend more time reconnecting the KDSS, but you might save time in putting the shocks and the struts in.
Yeah.
So,
and that's only, and taking off the KDSS from the lower control arms is only what, 4 14-millimeter bolts per side.
Yeah.
So I don't know
one way or another. I think if you have extra hands around, prying it open might be a little easier because it's a pain in the butt to get the KDSS back together.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's super easy to take it apart.
Yeah.
It's not as easy to put it all back together.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
See, I'm in the mode, if I ever got a 5th Gen 4Runner, I would just remove the KDSS. It seems
I wouldn't have bought one with it.
Yeah.
But the, you know, the KDSS systems are great for on-road.
Mm-hmm.
And road handling, They're not the best for off-roading.
Yeah.
They actually limit the travel a little bit.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Actually. So, you know, but both of you and I are like, well, we drive our, you know, big old rock crawlers with tires and solid axle swaps on the road, and we don't care about the road handling. Yeah. We want it to perform better off-road.
Exactly.
So I think, but I don't think either one of us would have gotten a KDS S4Runner.
Yeah.
But
true.
You know,
I don't know. I was looking into it for a little bit.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting a Bronco instead.
There you go. So. And you're getting the automatic disconnect sway bar set up.
Yeah. Which I've actually, like, that was the only real reason I went with the Badlands setup, because it's the only one that comes with that disconnecting sway bar.
Oh, wow.
It's the only model. The quote unquote, the next one up, which is, I think, the Wastelands.
Okay.
One.
Where's the Sasquatch?
The Sasquatch is a package you can include on the trim. It's an optional package.
It's another,
right?
It's another, yeah. It's like the digital package.
It's a, yeah. So it's like your digital package or your safety features package or whatever. So the Sasquatch package, I'm getting a Badlands Sasquatch High package. And that's so I get the 12 inch infotainment system.
Are you getting it on the 420?
The what?
On 420?
Probably. Looking at when release dates are going to happen, probably around there.
Yeah, because it's the high.
Yeah. I'm getting that, yeah, just the 12-inch screen before the high from the infotainment system. The Sasquatch gets me the front and rear lockers and something else in there as well. Mm-hmm. And then the Badlands gets me the removable sway bar and a wheel wells that can fit 37s from the factory.
Nice. Okay.
But I think that you can fit 37s on some of the other options as well.
It's okay. So you really just paid for the disconnecting sway bar?
Pretty much. And I'm like...
So they upsold you?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking back at it. I'm like, I'm going to, once I sit down with the dealer and kind of choose all the final options, that's, I think, when I'll kind of figure all that out and see if I really want that.
You're like, wait a second, why can this one fit 37s? And I'm paying for this kit for this one.
Yeah.
And they're going, well, no, yeah, you can do that, but you're paying for the sway bars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if I can fit 37s on a base, like one of the base models, and add a Sasquatch package to it, a high Sasquatch package, then that's what I'll probably end up doing, but we'll see.
Interesting. That'll be fun to hear all about when it happens.
It's definitely going to be interesting to share kind of how the final purchasing options go when we set up that with the dealer. So, cool. What did you do Saturday?
Well, can I say one more thing about
absolutely not
working on the 4Runner?
Yeah.
So we took off a Falcon package.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I've tried reaching out to Falcon to find out if the if I can put the 4Runner package onto my Tacoma.
Oh. And I would imagine the front you'd be able to. I think that the Tacoma and the 4Runner are on the same frame.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're on the same frame. I don't know if they're on the same IFS, like the control arms and everything are the same. That's what I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. And so I got passed around. I called, like, I talked to their probably receptionist first, right? Okay. She's like, how can I help you? You know, and I told her, and she's like, let me send you over to somebody that can help. Uh-huh. And then I talked that she probably sent me to tech.
Okay.
Right. Or something. And then I started talking to this guy at tech, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't work, but let me send you over to somebody that would know. And I started talking to this other guy.
Now you're talking to engineering.
Yeah, probably. And I started talking to him, and he's like, I think they would, but I'm not positive. Let me send you to the guy that kind of developed them.
So now you're in development.
Right? Or the, like
R&D.
R&D or something. And they send me to some guy, and I get his voicemail. Okay. And he's like, hey, I'm on vacation until October 26th.
Girl, that's helpful. I'm
like, okay, great. So I've got to wait a week.
Yeah.
So I actually messaged Dimitri and I said, hey, I know you do a lot of work on these. Are the struts in the front the same between a 4Runner, 5th gen 4Runner and a 3rd gen Tacoma?
Yeah.
And he said, no.
Oh.
They're not.
How are the different lengths?
He didn't go into for the most part. Okay. I asked him. I was in the middle of this right now. Oh, I've been kind of texting him.
So that's what you're doing, messing around on your phone while we're recording.
Kind of. I'm trying to find more juicy gossip.
Yeah.
I said, so are the top hats different? And he says, no, the shocks are different lengths and the bottom mount could be different too.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
So then your bottom mount, you just get spacers for, or we cut that bracket off and weld a new brackets on from rough stuff?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. Okay. I mean, the rear is totally different because leaf springs versus coils.
I would imagine the shock lengths, that would be the biggest thing where it's like, yeah, we can't really change that.
Mm-hmm.
But like if it's just spacing on a bracket on the lower control arm, I think that's doable.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm not opposed to kind of looking into it, or I'm definitely going to look into it a little bit more, because it'd be working with Brennan so much, you know, we'll come to a good deal and I might be able to get a few inch lift kit.
So it's always nice to have a few more inches.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
For a fairly decent price. Uh-huh. So, maybe a little bit of effort might go into Charlotte here in the future. We'll see.
Okay. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see Charlotte get up on 40 soon.
Yeah, me too. I don't know how soon that'll be, but I wouldn't mind it.
Cool. Well, you did some work on Samantha, I noticed.
I did.
Samantha looked a little cleaner.
This week, I did some work on Samantha.
Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you do there?
So, in the YouTube land, this probably by the time this episode comes out, I'm trying to figure out if I can get an episode out by Thursday or Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I don't know when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about trying to do the Samantha episodes every other week on Wednesday. Okay. That's what I have in my head.
Okay.
Anyways, so what people have seen is that we have ripped off the suspension.
Okay.
It's just unbolted and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, we have pulled the engine, transmission, gas tank, rear beds all gone. Some of the interiors disconnected, and B. Reynolds came over with his plasma cutter and we've cut off all the brackets.
Mm-hmm.
So this week
suspension brackets.
All the suspension brackets. Uh-huh. Yeah. Any of the low hanging fruit below the frame for the most part. So this week I actually spent the time and ground down and cleaned up all the plasma cutting welds and made it flush with the frame.
Nice.
So,
Now we have a clean frame.
So now we have a clean platform and we can,
did you leave the engine mounts?
Engine mounts are still there.
Okay.
We removed the suspension for the front independent front. We removed something that's also in the front that kind of hangs down that looks like it could be part of the a sway bar or something, but I didn't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's in the same exact spot as where the power steering is on the other side. So I'm not sure what it is. It's like this weird cup thing. Bobcat still has it. Huh. So we could, if you want to reference it, we could look at Bobcats. The cross members are different for the transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cut that out because I'm either going to have to do a custom one or figure out another solution.
We're just going to make a custom cross member out of some square tubing and plate, probably.
Pretty much. And so we cut out the one that was there because that whole underside in that section is going to change.
Okay.
And we removed the front spring hanger in the rear suspension because I'm undecided about what I want to do for the rear,
The rear springs,
whether I'm going to do double shackles or if I'm going to just do a single shackle and move it back.
Gotcha.
So I left those for now because I'm sort of leaning towards a double shackle setup just to
Did you see my dad's rear shackles?
I saw that he had some weird pivot shackles.
Yeah. So they're a double shackle with a pivot in the middle.
Okay.
I forget who made them. They were pretty popular before, but it just allows you to get even more articulation out of a double shackle setup.
Okay.
So I was thinking that might be kind of fun to put on Samantha.
That might be interesting. You got to check it out.
So
that for the most part, I just spent a few hours, probably 2 or 3 hours of just laying on my back, grinding on Samantha.
Okay.
Or she was grinding on me, whatever way you want to take that.
How are you?
If I'm on my back. But yeah, and then I spent a solid another probably hour or so cleaning the shop up from all the grinding that I did because we had Brennan coming in on Sunday. So I wanted to make sure that, it just wasn't grinding dust everywhere throughout the shop, you know, and where we would be working. So spent some time doing that as well.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. So is that what you were doing Saturday, or you did that earlier in the week?
No, Saturday.
Because you just did something Saturday, but you didn't. You never told me what it was.
Yeah, Saturday I spent time with the assistant, hung out. Her daughter was at her ex's house, so it was just time for us, some us time.
You don't need to go into details.
No, then. Oh, I'm definitely going to. we decided to go wine tasting out where we live. And
where'd you go?
Secret Ravine.
Okay.
And so
that one.
Huh?
I haven't been to that one. Do they have any smoke tainted wine?
I don't think. No, they don't. I don't think so.
Speaking of, sorry, tangent now, rabbit holes.
Reed?
We had Reed? No.
Oh, who was it?
We had a listener get in touch with us.
Okay.
And say that he goes to a winery each year, and the winery is really cool because they let people, friends and family, come in and pick their grapes and keep them for themselves. And they just charge like essentially an entry fee, right? It's like a cover charge. You go in $20-$40 a person, something like that. And you could pick all the grapes you want and leave with them.
That's cool.
He said this year they're not charging a cover charge.
Ooh.
Because all their crops are smoke tainted. So they're pretty much just going to destroy their entire crop. So he said if we wanted to go in and pick a bunch of grapes for either trying to make some wine or maybe make some brandy out of and see if we get some smoke-tainted brandy or whatever we can come up with.
Now you're speaking my love language.
This is one of the things I talked with CJ about that that I forgot to tell you on Sunday yesterday. Yeah. So anyways, he said he can probably...
He doesn't like to talk about that stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about. So the listener can probably get us into that vineyard close to free of charge. He doesn't know if they would do it free of charge still, but at a discounted price and kind of let us go in and kind of have our way with some smoke tainted crop.
That would be interesting. We would have to talk to some people. Of our friends to see if we should and how much quantity of grapes we might need to do either wine or brandy.
Well, because Jason, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, has all of the equipment to make wine.
Yes.
So he would probably be one of the people we would need to talk with and see if there's any way he could help with the process.
Yeah, definitely. He was one of the people I was thinking of. And, you know, and we know the other person who we're thinking of.
And my father-in-law.
That's not what I meant.
But, he has winemaking stuff as well. But yeah. So anyways, I just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We might be able to get our hands on some smoke tainted crop.
What general area is it?
I want to say it's up near Lake County.
Oh, okay.
Like Clear Lake area.
Okay, cool.
That
place got hit hard smoke wise.
Yes, they did.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So anyways.
So that'd be cool.
We might have a fun opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would I'm available or open for whenever we need to do that. The assistant and I went and she invited one of her friends, a couple out, and we went to a winery that the assistant's a member of.
Okay.
And we did some tasting and ate lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went all the way across town to a winery that her friends are a part of.
Okay.
And we did some tasting there.
Gotcha.
And then by that point, it was like 3 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back to the assistant's house. That morning, this was really actually kind of interesting. That morning, we erected.
Sorry, go ahead.
A mailbox.
A mailbox?
Yeah.
Okay.
We put up because our neighbors ripped out they had like a dual mailbox kind of they had like a post with two mailboxes on it.
Gotcha.
And they took it out because they put a new pad of concrete in the front with an RV pad kind of in their backyard.
Oh, okay.
And so they had to move the mailbox to make more room. And I mean, and the mailboxes were old and everything. So they were, both parties were totally happy to get new mailboxes.
Okay.
And so we put this mailbox up in the morning. We put this mailbox up in the assistant's yard and it didn't come with concrete.
Oh.
And so it came with this like epoxy sort of mix that foams up.
Interesting.
And so you literally, so we dug the hole, we sort of set the post kind of, you know, leaning in the hole at first, got some levels, and then you roll one of the sides of this bag up and it breaks the seal in the bag and it throws all the epoxies mixed together.
Interesting.
You mix it by through the bag or on, like, you know, not touching the stuff inside, but, you know, moving the bag around to mix it up for 15 seconds. And then you pour it into the hole. And then it foams up in like 25 seconds.
Jeez.
And
does it like foam up outside of the level, like over the level of the ground? Like you have to cut the foam off to level out?
Yeah. So it foams and it will do an 8-inch diameter hole, 36 inches.
Deep.
Okay. That's how much foam it would create.
That's
and so we were. I was like, okay, assistant, because she teaches math. I'm like, you need to do some math. Our hole is 1 foot in diameter, but it's only 18 inches deep.
Is that gonna be is
that how much foam do we get? And she's like, I'm not doing that math. It's Saturday. And so it did foam higher than the ground level, but within 20 seconds.
Everything was set.
You can let, everything's more or less set.
Wow.
So you can let go and like, you know, so I was like, okay, you're watching this level. I'm watching this level. Let's make sure like, you know, we have 10 to 15 seconds where we have to hold it and then we can let it go.
So it's a very quick, solid erection that you get to make.
Absolutely.
That's nice. Right. Those are the good kinds.
Definitely. So. And so, then we went wine tasting.
Okay.
So then we came back and then, because it will...
Was it still erect when you got back?
It was still in the spot that we left it.
Was it more than 4 hours later?
It was...
Because if it's more than 4 hours later, you need to call somebody. Call somebody.
Yeah, well, we did. We brought a saw.
Okay.
And so we grabbed a saw from my house because the foam was higher.
Okay.
And so, and within like 3 to 5 hours, it's like fully cured.
Okay.
And so we chopped it off at ground level and then filled the hole like... the whole back end to cover everything up, but it was pretty much like the expandable foam that you would throw into like walls or construction and just works. And so it's not as strong as concrete, but it's, I mean, a mailbox. What do you really need to, you know, like you're not stressing it out too much.
Like, if something is stressing out your mailbox hard enough to break it, it's going to break the foam.
Yeah.
You're going to have issues if it's in concrete anyway.
kind of. Yeah. So that was pretty interesting and a fun little science experiment that we were doing. So then we went to go have dinner at my parents' house and I went to go pick up the food and the assistant went straight to my house. And when I went to go get the food, they were like, oh, sorry, we're actually really backlogged in food and it's going to be like another half an hour.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay, well, I'll take a beer while I wait. And then we went back to my parents' house and we drank a bottle of wine. Then we went over to her friend's house after dinner to the friend that we went wine tasting with. And I was driving, so I didn't drink anymore, but they had probably another 2 bottles of wine. And then we played Mario Kart and then we came back home and it was like 1 o'clock.
So did you play the kind of Mario Kart where you're in shopping baskets going through the neighborhood?
That was Wii.
Oh,
that's gotcha. Mario Wii. Okay. Actually, we did play that. We did play Mario Wii once because the guy, the husband of my, the assistant's friend, is like a self-proclaimed the best Mario 64 kart guy out there. Okay. And I've been playing on the Wii version. And the assistant knows that like he sharks people into like, hey, you want to play some Mario Kart, you know?
That bad?
And then he plays like bad and then he just gets really good.
Okay.
You know, and so she was warning me like don't ever play Mario Kart against him because he's really good.
Okay.
You know, I'm like okay. And so I was playing with the assistant on Mario Kart and
I wasn't going to go anywhere.
And she said that hey, you're really good. You could probably beat him.
Huh.
And I said, "Oh, well, okay. Like I'm okay. I'm pretty good at it, you know, on the Wii. Let's see how good I am at 64. And I haven't played the 64 version in a long time.
Yeah.
So I go over there and we bring the Wii and we start playing Mario 64 and he's really good.
Okay.
Like, you know how you can do the jump and the drift and you can bounce back and forth and get the boosts. I usually like around a corner, I'll do one and he'll try to get like 2 to 3. You know, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's like, I just want to hold this drift and get the boost out of it. And so he was, like there was once when I almost beat him, but then he red shelled me right at the end and he took me over. But he said out of everybody's ever played that I am his closest opponent, that I, you know, the best opponent he's ever had. Okay. So that was cool. So then we moved to the Wii.
Okay.
And he couldn't do it.
Like, controls are a little different, huh?
The controls are different. And I tried to set him up with the nunchuck setup because the Wii is the one where like you would tilt the wheel to steer. And I can't do that one. So you add the nunchucks in, it brings it back somewhat close to the 64 kind of version where you use a joystick and, you know, but he was like two hands and separate, and he and different cars and different actions. Like I was like, oh, I'm going to use the motorcycle because you can do wheelies, you know, and you get a boost every single time, and you can get boosts off of jumps, and you know, and he just didn't, he didn't know any of those things. So I destroyed him on the, you know, on the Wii version.
Okay.
So I was stoked.
Nice.
So I was his, I was getting close seconds on the 64, and I was getting like, he was getting eighth or something like that, and I was getting first. No, out of like 12 or 15 or something in Wii. So yeah, so that was I was happy about that.
Nice.
Yeah,
congratulations.
So thanks,
you can add that to your resume now.
Yeah, I definitely should. Yeah, so I was up, so last, so that night I was up till like 1 a.m and then was up at, you know, like 7:30-ish, you know, to start getting ready for everybody to come over and work. And then we worked all day long on Saturday, or on Sunday. And then I went over to Truck Norris's house and I left there at like almost midnight last night and had to drive 45 minutes home, you know? And so I got home at like almost 1 a.m. last night. So I'm,
and then we had a morning recording,
and then we had a morning recording session today, and we have a kiddo now, so they, you know, jumps in bed at like 6:30 in the morning, you know. So yeah, for this weekend, I've, this is why I'm sort of tired. It's just been a long weekend with not a long sleeping period.
That's fine. You can catch up during the week here.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Oh man, well, cool. A good thing that you took a long time.
Yeah.
To tell about your weekend, because I didn't do a whole lot. Because so all I really did was I went back up to ICW, N6 ICW.
Okay.
We got the top antennas installed on the very top of the tower. So we got the antennas installed and hooked up two of them and ran two of the Heliax lines to the top of the tower. So we still have, those were half inch lines. We still have a 7/8 inch Heliax line we need to run to the top of the tower for the last antenna. And then I think everything's going to be completely, fully functional.
Cool.
On the tower. And then we just kind of need to go
up. How heavy would a 7/8 inch Heliax line be that you are that's going to be up?
120 feet.
120 feet. Mm-hmm. 120 foot length of 7/8 inch cord.
Heliax. And it's longer than 120 because we have to go off the tower into the building.
Yeah.
In through the service entrance on the building and then hook it up to the repeater racks, right?
Right. At least you don't have to hoist that up, though.
We, yeah, we do. The line.
Well, but you're not lifting, you're lifting 120 up.
True. Yes.
You're not lifting that other rack. But so I'm saying that's friggin' beefy.
It's heavy. It's a good 80, I don't know, 60 to 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Right around there.
That's cool.
So we, you know, we have rigging set up and pulleys set up on the top of the tower that we hook everything up to, and then the people on the ground pull the line up.
Oh.
So I'm not pulling the line up. There we have,
like,
we have
strapping it to your waist somehow and hiking up the tower.
No. Yeah, we have maybe 400, 500 feet of rope set up that on a pulley at the bottom and a pulley on the top. And then there's a rope going up the center of the tower and a rope coming off the outside of the tower to the ground. So it's this giant loop, essentially.
Sure.
That we can pull things up the outside of the tower or pull things up the middle of the tower at center.
Right.
So they did all the pulling up. I just had to sit there, and once it got to the top, tie it off and secure it all there and then connect all the antennas to it.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was fun. That was the first time I've been up on the tower during sunset before.
Ooh.
That was really cool.
Pretty.
That was a fun experience. So that's all I really did on Friday. Saturday was, I've been playing around with CAD and learning CAD. So, I'm building a window, like a full length wall window bench seat for my house. It's 98 inches long. So 10 on.
That's what she said.
I don't know if that she wants this to be that long. 98 inches long. And then it's going to be flanked on either side of bookshelves. And there's a big, you know, four, three windows that covers the bench seat. Are you playing something right now?
I was.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I can't hear it. So, the bench is going to be across three windows, right? And so I was like, this would be a good time, a good opportunity to play around with CAD and design it on CAD and then kind of figure out how all that works.
Yeah.
Because all I really need to do is build the frame of it. And then I'm just going to put drywall on the outside and spackle it with the texture it, and then put a baseboard on it so it'll blend into the wall.
And then some sort of cushion on top.
Yeah, there's a couple of lids, so it's going to open up, so it'll be storage inside as well.
Cool.
And then a couple of cushions on top.
Yep.
So I was like, it should be pretty simple to do. I could probably do it just fine without a CAD design, but I was like, I want to take the opportunity to learn CAD.
Yeah.
And so I only needed to make one call to Hussman with questions.
What software did you use?
The Design Spark Mechanical.
Okay.
So it's the one that it's a free CAD program, which works really, really well. I'm very impressed because I've used a free CAD before, which is an open source software. And this one is the free base program that Design Spark gives out to everybody. And then you buy extra components to work with CNC machines, laser engravers, water jets, whatever it is you're using the program for to cut things and produce things with. So the base program's free. That's what I'm using. It works really well. I'm very impressed with it so far. And I literally had a 5-minute call with Hussman because I was like, I'm having problems. I can't get things to work the way I want them to work. What am I doing wrong? And he goes, oh, you're just not using the right tool.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And he explained how the tools work. And I was like, that makes sense. And once I figured that out, then it was like, yeah, full steam ahead.
Nice.
So I was able to build the frame for everything in CAD relatively easily once I figured that out. And then I went and, you know, from there, you can essentially tell the program, what are all my dimensions I need?
Yeah.
And then print that out. And so I did that, printed it out, and then I went down to Home Depot, bought all the raw materials, right, with just wood, 4x4s and 2x4s.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that 2x4s are not really 2 inches by 4 inches.
Right.
I thought that they were, however, 1.5 by 3 inches.
Aren't they only 1/2 inch off?
They're 1/2 inch off.
Yeah.
So they're 1.5 by 3.5.
Yeah.
4x4s are not really 4x4s.
No, but they're pretty close. Aren't they? They're not 1/2 inch off either.
They're not 1/2 inch off, though.
They're closer.
They're closer. But I didn't know that. I thought, okay. I knew 2x4s weren't right, but I thought they were 1x3, 1.5 by 3.
Okay, yeah.
And turns out they're not. So I bought all the materials and my design was set up for 4x4 and 1x3, 1.5 by 3s.
Yeah.
And once I got the raw material, I was like, the 2x4s were not the correct size, but I didn't catch it until I started assembling everything. I was like, shit, this is not assembling properly. What happened? And I started measuring stuff. I was like, oh, there you go. It's really 1.5 by 3.5. I was like, so wait a minute. What about the 4x4? I measured that. And it's 3.75. 5/8.
3 5/8.
Yeah. So 3.625. So I was like, okay. So then I had to go back to the CAD and redo my dimensions on all my parts and then move things around and then reprint all of my dimensions.
Oh, bummer.
And luckily,
did you have to make new cuts?
It only impacted 2 parts, right?
Okay, cool.
So I had to cut 6 new things. And luckily, I had some 1.5 by 3.5 left over from another project that I was able to cut everything from. So I didn't have to make another run to the store.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it was so nice to be able to make that change within, and in, you know, 10 minutes, have that change made and know all my new dimensions.
Yeah.
And go and make the cuts that need to be done. So like,
that's cool.
From the time of, you know, designing it and then starting to work on the project, I had the whole thing together in like 2 hours.
Wow.
So I was like,
yeah, that's awesome. I saw
this
your
is cool.
Yeah, I saw your CAD awesome. That you sent me. Mm-hmm. You're like, I got to build this. And I was like, dang, like he drew that up pretty good.
Yeah.
Looked good, you know, and it was 3D, which was really neat. And, you know, because I've been dabbling in some CAD work myself for snail armor. And, you know, I haven't all my stuff is flat.
Yeah. Yours is all two dimensional things.
Yeah. And so mine's a little easier. But the 3D side of thing was really neat to see, you know, how you laid that out.
It was really cool. The fun thing is that you can color everything individually. So what I did was I figured out all the parts that had the exact same dimensions and colored them all, you know, blue. And mm-hmm. then all the other parts with another dimension were red. And then I printed out the 3D picture of it
okay.
in color. And then so I had the 3D picture and the dimensions and had everything labeled as red, blues. You know, blues are going to be these dimensions. Reds are these dimensions. And then just cut everything out. And it took me half an hour to measure and cut everything.
Right.
And then an hour and a half maybe to assemble and put everything together.
That's sweet. Yeah, and I saw it. I saw it in the other room. It looks good.
Yeah, it turned out really good. I'm pretty excited. And I'm like, I want to do more CAD now.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten into doing radiuses yet. Radiuses or like threading things or anything like mm-hmm. Anything like that yet, but yeah. That's kind of the next step now I'm interested in
to learn how to draw a bolt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I really want to know how to draw MPT connectors.
There you go. Yeah.
So I can start CADing all of the Morflate parts.
Yeah.
So anyways, that was fun. That was Saturday's project.
That reminded me of something.
Uh-huh.
Do you have more on your project?
Not really, just I got done with it. I was expecting that to take the whole day on Saturday, and it only took from going to Home Depot when I left my house to getting completely done was 4 hours.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, I have a lot more time now in the day.
Cool.
So I started working on the sliders video.
Oh, good.
Editing and doing the post-production on the sliders video. Video editing sucks.
Oh yeah,
like it's 10 times where I'll do podcast editing all day long.
Oh,
compared
yeah.
to video editing.
Well, because on podcast editing you can kind of be visually doing something else
uh-huh.
and audioly working on the podcast.
Yes.
Well, video editing you can't
everything's
you can't even like listen to music in the background uh-huh. you know and watch the video that you're editing.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way.
No.
You got to have both all senses onto the video. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I took just the first half of the sliders video and kind of gotten the video cut down and kind of put together, and things are arranged in the order that I want. And that took about 4 hours. And I think I still have 8 hours worth of work to do on this one video, and it's going to end up being 20 to 25 minutes long.
Yeah,
which is what I was looking for. It's where I wanted to be. And I'm just like, I'm going to be doing 12 hours of work for a 20 minute video,
mm-hmm.
not including shooting the video and everything too. So I'm just like, this sucks.
Right.
I don't ever want to add video works to like my repertoire of skill sets.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get why videographers charge so much and everything. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm more than happy to pay that fee.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's, I forget, you know, I'll get corrected, I'm sure, on this, but I think there's a double, like a rule of twos or whatever,
uh-huh.
where it's like, if you have a 2 minute long video,
uh-huh.
you know, you have
a 2 hours worth of shooting
or squared or something like
yeah.
that. You have 2 hours of shooting and it took you, you know, 8 hours of video editing yeah, or however, like 4 hours. It's a 2 minute video. Yeah. I can't remember how it goes, but it's like exponential, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the video was so long because, and then recording the video was three times as long
mm-hmm.
and editing the video was three times as long as that.
Is that? Yeah. Yeah. It's something no, that's not something
yeah.
I want to do.
And Brennan even said the same thing on yeah. Sunday. He's like, yeah, I did a video for the Tacoma and I don't think I'm ever going to do another video again.
Yeah.
It's like so much work uh-huh. and whatever I normally do, I can do, and I can get it done fairly quick. And then trying to add this into the mix is just way too much.
Yeah.
You know, and then I flip it around on them. I'm like, that's the way I feel about blogs.
Yeah.
It's like, I can do the video editing. I get it. Yeah. I know the shortcut keys. I know how to get, mm-hmm. I know what I want out of the product, you know, but man, to sit there and try to write 1500 words, can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that's what I did Saturday. And then Sunday was a work on the fifth gen Forerunner, which we've already covered. And then today we're picking up Kermit. Woo.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I think we should just go. Let's go do it.
Let's just go. Yeah. We can get some lunch. We're a little ahead of schedule for the day.
Okay.
But so we can get some lunch on the way there. And
well, and we got to stop off at the Snail Trail shop and pick a few things up.
That's true.
And
we do. Yeah.
Kind of get ourselves organized there. So,
okay. I think that's good. Let's go. Let's go get Kermit. Let's get, I want my IROX back. So yeah. We'll have to do that. And then, yeah, let's have a good fun day.
I'm down.
You ready? We also, well, should we say what else we're doing while we're up there? It has to do with Ori.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
No. Yes. Sure. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. You'll see. We're
You'll
doing
see on episode 140.
Cool. Do you have any final words for everybody, Jimmy?
Ribbit.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Okay.
How do vampires get around on Halloween?
I don't know.
On their blood vessels.
Their blood vessels. That's a pretty good one. I'll take that one.